News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk. Well, Coach Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5, 807, Mobile Mornings. Number of things to get to today. A little war of words between Pritzker and the president. It may escalate from there, depending on Trump's next move. A lot of people in D.C. talking about how they are happy with the streets being cleaned up and being able to walk around the mall, the mall in D.C., feeling safer on the streets, going out to dinner. This is a lot of residents of D.C. who are saying that they're happy with all this.
Yeah.
Let
me play that one piece of audio referenced earlier today.
It was all over. Well, anyway, I saw it yesterday. Some of these reaction videos that was one person after another, many of them African Americans, who were saying, like, we like what's going on here. And one guy, by the way, was really serious when he talked about it. They said, are you happy about this? He said, do you know how many funerals I've been to this year? Do you know how many sad parents I know, sad moms and aunts and grandmothers who've lost kids? Yeah, I'm happy about this. So anyway. Yeah.
And D.C. also one of those places with a lot of the four-wheeler and dirt bike riding at night through the streets that keep people up.
Yeah.
I've seen some people hop online and say, hey, all those noises overnight,
all gone.
They're gone. Yeah, yeah, as of right now. Now, will they be back as soon as the National Guard leaves?
Yeah,
probably, maybe. But here was a.
But I like it because of this reason, real quick, Dalton. It gives you an idea of what it could be like.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds you of what normal is like.
Yeah.
If you're a resident of D.C.
And politically, as so many have pointed out, the Democrats keep falling into the Trump trap. He has them arguing for crime,
basically.
Yeah, when they're pushing back against him.
There was even Joe Scarborough and the mayor of Chicago going back and forth. With Scarborough was giving him every opportunity to say, he said, would you take 5,000 cops on the street now if you could? And he kept talking about programs and housing and everything.
Mm-hmm. He asked him over and over,
trying to kind of bail him out.
And what's funny is the Democrats can't even thread the needle on their response, because there is a good political response. Well, I don't know what is good or what isn't, but there's a truthful response to Trump sending in the feds. And now we're talking about D.C., which is a different story than if he sends them into Chicago or New York or anything like that. But no, I don't see any Democrats saying, listen, crime is a serious issue. There's too many murders that are happening in cities. But sending in the feds is a step that should only be taken in completely extreme circumstances. Now, Trump is arguing, well, this is an extreme circumstance, but I don't see the Democrats saying, hey, this is something that should be taken care of by the city, because they can't also come out there and say, and we're adding more cops and we're going to be much more tough on crime, because their constituents don't want to hear that either. So all they're left with in their response to Trump is, Crime isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to do that. Instead of saying, hey, Trump doesn't need to do that because we are doing X, you know. They're not able to thread that needle in the response.
But. Well, here's real quick. You're against this takeover, the National Guard. What they're now realizing with the peace and quiet on the streets is they were dealing with a takeover.
Mm.
The thugs were taking over. The behavior of many of the younger citizens was a takeover.
Yeah.
And you don't object to that.
Didn't have any say in that.
Yeah.
You may have objected, but couldn't stop it.
So now if you're mad about a takeover, you let this takeover go away, you're going to have the other takeover again.
So a CNN reporter was in Chicago, not in D.C., but asking about, you know, if Trump does send in the National Guard to help with the crime issue here, what are your thoughts? And I don't think this interview went the way that the anchor was expecting. This is about a 20-second clip here.
My first reaction was that this is a good thing. I think that the governor as well as the mayor should be on board with it, just so we can get a bit more of security in Chicago the way that we need.
The crime has dropped since 2024. Do you feel like the city feels safer?
No. Not at all. No, especially with the police being defunded.
So I don't think she expected that answer. I was thinking
surprised
that was a
they
DC
aired it. Maybe
interview.
It was live.
Yeah, I think it was live. Mm. So you have even people in Chicago, citizens of Chicago, saying, yeah, something needs to be done about all this. Tommy Tuberville weighed in, too, which is even more interesting when you consider he's soon to be governor of Alabama. And I know they've made some moves here regarding the crime in Montgomery especially, but Birmingham, too, with that kind of state unit that they've put together.
Yeah, for the help of Aaliyah.
Yeah, and I guess they've seen some good results from that. I haven't looked recently, but I know some of the legislators have been claiming a job well done here. But Tuberville weighed in earlier this week at a fundraiser in Vestavia Hills. He said if elected governor, he would consider deploying the National Guard to cities like Montgomery or Birmingham to help fight crime. Tuberville said, quote, visibility is the number one deterrent, and argued that using guard troops alongside state and local police could strengthen public safety. He compared the approach to Trump's approach of using the Guard in D.C. Tuberville claims that's helped offset a, quote, total disaster in the city by supporting 24-hour police shifts. He added that public safety must be a priority, saying, quote, if you have a great family and education but don't have safe streets and neighborhoods, then you have a problem.
Yeah. So think about that. That Tuberville's saying, look, when I become governor, I'll do it. I mean, that's quite a statement. But we're seeing... we're actually seeing evidence of it working.
Mm-hmm.
And not, I don't know that it's going to fully go back to the chaos that it was, Dalton, because the large number of arrests, and are those people going to be prosecuted, and are they going to actually go to jail?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot to do with it as well, as on that end of it in Washington, D.C., so these laws are so far to the left that these criminals are not paying the time for the crime.
Well, and it's interesting, too, Muriel Bowser kind of promoting, she goes back and forth, you know, right after admonishing Trump for sending in the National Guard, the next day she was more or less welcoming, saying, okay, yeah, you guys are coming, this needs to be done. Then the next day she's hating on Trump again. Here recently she's talking about the lower numbers of carjackings, and that's really notable. Bowser said crime has fallen sharply since Trump deployed hundreds of federal law enforcement officers. Carjackings down 87% compared to the same 20-day period last year. Overall crime down 15%, and violent crime has dropped 45%. And Bowser did credit that federal surge by bolstering the Metropolitan Police Department, said it has had a significant impact on public safety. But one big issue they have and will continue to have are how many of the criminals are young, and not just 17, 16 years old young, but 13, 14, 15-year-olds. And Janine Pirro, who is the D.C. acting attorney now, I guess, I forget her exact title. She's the prosecutor there in D.C. She said, she was complaining about it the other day. She said, I can't do anything about the young kids that are getting arrested. There's nothing that I can do about that because of the laws on the books. But I think back to so many of these murder and carjacking stories from D.C. I mean, can you imagine? And I know carjackings happen around here, but nowhere near the level that they happen and have been happening in places like Baltimore and D.C. and Chicago, where you hear stories of people that pull up at a gas pump and just step outside to grab the fuel handle, you know, and put it in their car. And then the next thing they know, their car's gone while they're standing right beside it. It's absolutely insane. I don't know if you remember that story a couple summers ago, maybe a year or two before that even, where you had, I believe they were girls that were 14, maybe 13, 14, 15 years old. And
an
Uber driver, I think. They took his vehicle with him in the vehicle still, or he jumped back on. Yeah, and flipped the car and killed him. And I believe they were let out on bond like the next day, if I remember why that story was so maddening. But in that case, we're talking about 13, 14, 15-year-old girls that were doing that. I don't know if this will be a long-term fix, but on the other hand, you have people saying, hey, we're not only are we headed towards a police state, we're there now. But half the country, or maybe more, are saying it's necessary because crime has gotten so bad. Again, I'm kind of stuck in the middle on some of this stuff. Now, D.C. Is a different story, but once Trump, if he does start sending some National Guard into some of these other cities, he might start running into a little bit more resistance, even from conservatives. But I don't know. I don't know how all that would work out.
I just like the fact that there's evidence now
that it can be done.
Hmm.
That you can take this epidemic of crime, and I'm not saying eradicate it completely, but I like the fact that there is now evidence that, well, something, this could work. Now, can you do this all across? You know, probably don't have the manpower, or the budget to do, to put that much into some kind of policing like this, aggressive policing, or that many cops on the street. Maybe not, but I just like the fact that I can see that there is evidence that it's not, the scourge can be quelled,
yeah,
calmed down. Meanwhile, Illinois Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker said the state will not stand by, not stand idly by. It's like Trump's coming in to commit crimes. If President Donald Trump makes good on his threat to deploy the National Guard to Chicago to respond to the crime in the Windy City.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
They're going to take him to court? They're going to fight in the streets?
Well, and he goes on to say, action will be met with a response. Here is Trump on Pritzker.
You would think that Illinois would have such a problem with crime, such a bad governor. He should be calling me, and he should be saying, could you send over the troops, please? It's out of control. It's out of control.
Pritzker's comments are just the latest in his recent feud with Trump. Last week, the governor said that there is no crime emergency in Chicago. See, when you normalize it, when it's like, no, we're flat. Yeah, well, yeah. Flat sucks.
This isn't an emergency. This is business as usual.
Flat's terrible. And he says Trump is attempting to manufacture a crisis and politicize Americans who serve in uniform and continue abusing his power. There's some of that, I guess, but the fact that you are saying there is no emergency just tells me that you have lowered the standards of what emergency is.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen theories, and DEI texter on the text line this morning, I've seen theories from both the left and the right that this is all a bigger play from Trump than just sending in the National Guard to stop crime in these high crime areas. Like DEI texter says, all this is Trump rehearsing his next insurrection to stay in power. I've seen people on the left claim that, well, now that he has D.C. under lockdown, when he wants to stay in office next time, it'll be easier than ever. I saw a theory yesterday from the right saying that Trump knows that there are some nationwide protests being planned, similar to the 2020 post-George Floyd Summer of Love,
yeah,
and that he's basically getting some federal assets out there in and around the entire country to be prepared for that, so that the National Guard and other folks representing the Fed will be able to kind of stop that as it begins.
Yeah.
And you could see how maybe they could be ramping up for something like that. I don't know. The simple answer is Trump sees crime, crime bad, voters hate crime, I'm going to stop crime. That might be as simple as it is.
Might be that simple.
Yeah.
There was a black woman in D.C. who was just walking around the mall area and saying, this is so great. This is so great. And she said, and there are some people who are protesting and yelling. She was pointing at a tent that was set up, and she was saying that they're just, I'll be honest with you, she said they're not from here. She said there a lot of them are older white people that are angry about, I'm not sure what they're angry about. They don't even live here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just against Trump.
Yeah.
And they're obviously going to be, they're financed by somebody to get to Washington, D.C. and do whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and Trump kind of put George Soros on the spot yesterday, and his son Alex mentioning them and saying they might bring charges against them for funding a lot of things like that. 820, text line bumping already, 251-343-0106, and a lot of talk about Water Street, the city council discussing maybe making it more walkable, but that would presumably make it harder to drive, maybe fewer lanes on Water Street. We'll get to that. And Pritchard having trouble counting votes. We'll get to that as well on the other side with Mobile Mornings.
Also going to talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. He had a couple of issues, including what's going on with a lawsuit in the Bayou that's coming up. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 820 by Mobile Mornings, 651-343-0106. Want to give us a call? Maybe we can squeeze you in here before the news at the bottom of the hour. Certainly use that to text us.
Yeah. Looking at the text line, Don says, you know, Dan and Dalton, what we're going through is what a very wise man once said to me. When you reward people for doing nothing, including crime, by letting them out or get away with everything, this is what you will end up with every time. I say spare the rod, spoil the child. These kids nowadays have no parental guidance, apparently. Tim says, I got something that will stop these carjackings. He doesn't say what, but I have a pretty good feeling what Tim is referencing there. Gardner says, why don't all cities make a massive increase in police presence? Well, I think just, you know, convincing citizens that it's worth the massive increase in the budget to pay out law enforcement is difficult enough. When you add in the fact that a lot of these cities have liberal councils, liberal mayors, and they feel that they won't get reelected if they fight a war on crime. It just makes it so that there's no incentive for the people in charge in these cities to do that. But you'd think even in some conservative cities or cities that lean conservative, they'd have an easier time funding more law enforcement. That's not always the case either.
Yeah, you would think so, though. Brandon Johnson kept talking about, you know, we tried incarceration. That's also a political hot potato, obviously, and that didn't work. But he was just sadly missing the whole point. It was like that didn't work. Well, in you know, let's nuance this thing a little bit. Maybe we do need an uptick in incarceration. Sorry, maybe we do. And sorry that these families are in tatters. Sorry, but maybe we do need for actual consequences to be part of the end of the road for misbehaving in this way, even if you're 14.
Yeah. Also, a lot of talk on the text line this morning about a story we referenced from Fox 10. Mobile city officials considering a $830,000 study to redesign Water Street with pedestrians in mind. And this is something we've discussed, Dan, how tough it is, especially with that parking lot. Basically, well, even when the parking lot is available, you have more people then trying to cross from the north side of, I'm sorry,
the west side.
West side of Water Street over to the other side. Anyway, it's tough to cross there. There's a lot of traffic. They're looking at making it more accessible for pedestrians. They want more people to be able to make it to and from the Amtrak station, Hall of Fame Walk.
To the hotels.
Cooper Riverside Park when it reopens. Yeah. But that might mean, according to James Barber, the chief of staff, reducing lanes while adding bike and pedestrian access. And Joshua said 18-wheelers, because we talked about I-10, the ramp onto and off of 10 there. But he said 18-wheelers coming from I-165 and Beauregard Street to I-10 on Water Street are just as bad, if not worse. So they're breaking the speed limit by the time they reach St. Michael or St. Francis. Why not put speed lumps, humps, and bumps on Water Street? Joshua asks. This texter says, how stupid to mess with Water Street. It goes to the port, which generates way more economic means than tourism.
You definitely would have to figure out what industrial traffic that uses that. Could it be rerouted, or is it going to have too hard of an effect on that traffic that can go nowhere else? And I guess there's some of those big trucks, that's their route, right?
Yeah, like
now.
The hazardous waste, I think, is what Leanna was saying. Tommy says they narrowed Broad Street, and now two trucks have trouble driving side by side. This texture says, wouldn't a walkover be cheaper? Well, you do have that one sky.
Yeah.
What do you call those? Sky walk. But that's on the fifth floor of the parking garage.
Yeah, fifth or fourth floor up there. So, you know. I've heard this plan, by the way. I first heard this plan about Water Street about 8 years ago. I'm seriously. And I thought it was going to happen. It's 8:30, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:35. Hopefully you get Rob Holbert from Lanyap here very shortly.
Yes, quick reminder, by the way, the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. As I watch the number of entries go up exponentially by the hour. We're filling it up for the FM Talk 106.5 pool, which begins with Saturday's games. Now, Auburn, I realize, plays Friday night, tomorrow night. But we're starting our contest on Saturday just because that's how we've always done it. I want to make sure everyone has a fair shot to get their entries in. But the prize, which we announced yesterday, I have a good feeling that's the reason so many more people are signing up for our free contest, where one person at the end of the year will win from Spring Hill Ace a fantastic grand prize, the RecTech Patio Legend 400 wood pellet Wi-Fi grill and smoker. And I was listening to Tip Winger talk about why he loves these RecTech grills so much, and it's, well, because they're awesome. They have a huge cooking surface on this one, 410 square inch cooking area. If you're wondering how much meat you can fit there, that'd be enough for three slabs of ribs, three pork butts, 24 burgers, or 65 chicken wings, plus that Wi-Fi connectivity. If you get that RecTech app, you can pretty much do everything from there. And it has the pellet grill and smoker, so you could do a lot with that. You also get a grill cover and some pellets for your grill in the grand prize. A TurtleBox Ranger Bluetooth speaker is included here. Those are one of the hottest things going right now. I know Tip said he's having trouble keeping those on the shelves. So many people are coming in to buy them. But that'll be part of the grand prize package. Great for the beach or the boat or wherever you're wanting to listen to music. And also, you'll need something to keep your cans cool. So a Yeti Hopper M15 32-can soft side cooler also included in this amazing grand prize package worth $1,500. Sign up for the Pick'em. We have directions on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Also, our Facebook page, we have it pinned to the top along with that grand prize if you're trying to remember what's at stake here. And you have we'll keep it open through the week next week, but you'll be behind if you sign up late. If you want to start off on the right foot, you want to get in before Saturday, and it's runyourpool.com. You can also log in there and search FM Talk 106.5. It should get you there.
Rob Hulbert is with Lanyap Mobile. Lots to talk about this morning since we just had those elections 2 days back. Rob, good morning.
There were elections? What?
Yeah, first time hearing of this.
Yeah.
So,
they snuck them in on us.
Yeah, I don't. There were certainly, I guess, what could be considered surprises around the area, but for the Mobile mayoral, we end up with a runoff, as expected. The question is, did you expect the two that are in the runoff, Barbara Drummond and Spiro Chiragatis?
Yeah, I did. I mean, that's what I certainly expected Barbara to be in. I've written that. I thought Spiro would be the one. I was the only real surprise in that race to me was the difference or the gap between second and third place. I thought that was I thought that would be closer, but that did not really surprise me. I mean, I wouldn't have bet anything on it. It was a very it was hard to gauge, but that's who I thought was going to be in the final and the runoff.
So there's the political observers that might be a little on the ball, better than old Mr. Dan here, but there's some of them already calling the race like, well, it's pretty obvious so-and-so is now going to win, or I've even heard both ways. But at this point, do we let the cards just, you know, fall where they may, or their actual strategies they could be deployed here over the next 4 weeks for one side or the other to pull this thing out?
I mean, I think that obviously they both need to campaign hard. So we had about 40,000 people that showed up to vote. There's about 16,000 votes that did not go to either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've got to do is figure out how to get those people. Drummond led Spirit got us by about, Tara got us by about, 2,500 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to be I think he has probably the advantage in this situation because it's just, I think there's more likelihood that the Connie Hudson voters and are going to come to him. I don't know a lot about what the Pine voters overall will do. Some probably won't vote. Mm. Some probably will. I mean, I know that there was some, he did draw a decent amount of black vote, although I don't know what that actual number was. Brendan Kirby had a report on it on ALA that just was percentages, so I don't really know exactly what that overall number was. I mean, he had about 7 or 8,000 votes, so it's not It's not a massive number, mm-hmm. I don't think, that's going to go that direction. But it was, he certainly did better. I mean, we were not as racially polarized as we usually are, which
yeah.
is nice.
And Rob, continue. My bad.
No, that's what I was saying. But it's just, I think that's where, you know, I mean, I think there's more upside for Spiro at this point than there is for Barber. That's what I would say.
That's kind of what my thoughts were, too. And when we talk about turnout, I mean, it's one thing for an election where you have multiple races on the ballot. But for this runoff, I imagine we'll see a drop in the turnout, obviously, especially with no other races. None of the city council races are headed to a runoff. So,
yeah, you typically do. You know, it's pretty typical for the runoff to be a lower turnout. You know, how much lower, I don't know. And, you know, I mean, a lot of it will also depend on what goes on in the next, you know, month or so, or less than a month. But, you know, there's going to be, you know, how heated does this get? Does it get heated? I don't know.
That's interesting. You're right. So we have 4 weeks to go. The stakes are very high. The narrative could change a little bit.
Yep.
Things could be leaked or things could be strategized by the political overseers. And, you know, who knows? And things could go terribly wrong one way or the other, too. I think one of the things about you talking about this not being so much on along racial lines, to me, Rob, that it's got a lot to do with Prine himself, because he had already built that relationship through being a cop for many, many years with members of the black community. Am I right on that?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably true. I don't know if it indicates a long-term change, you know, but it would be nice to see us, you know, as a community vote, you know, on more about what ideas and these mm-hmm. people are versus that kind of thing. But, I mean, both Chirogatis and Drummond have run in other races as the Democrat and a Republican. So people, you know, we are kind of polarized in that way, too. So this is a non-partisan race for mayor, but they've both been part of a party before. So,
right.
You know, you're not looking at people and going, who did, you know, wonder what they are.
Yeah.
Wonder what party they vote with.
So often in those races, it's whatever the voter thinks that person might be, depends on their vote, which is interesting too. Only one incumbent upset in the city council races. There will be two new faces, obviously, with Bo Fleming running unopposed for District 3, but with Samantha Ingram defeating William Carroll and also the other challenger, Reggie Hill, she's poised to become a new council member. Where do we go with the allegations that Reggie Hill was bringing up about where Ingram's voting and her residency, or is that all kind of just over now?
I don't know. I don't know if that comes back up or not. You know, I think, when you look at that race, that also was not a big surprise to me, because when you look at, you know, William Carroll last time when he was running against LaVon Manzi got 47% of the vote in the first election, and then he died.
Mm-hmm.
Carroll only got like 23% in the initial election, and then Manzi got a lot of votes after he had passed away. So it was not, and Carroll had, when he was first running against Manzi a few elections before that, it was pretty clear that Manzi was going to win, and Carroll dropped out. Yep. I don't think popular.
He started talking about dropping out, and then we lose the cell signal. You still there, Rob? I think we've lost you here. We might have lost that signal. We'll see if we can get Rob back on, possibly. It sounds like maybe he was working his way through the tunnel or something like that. But, yeah, so I don't know where we stand on that District 2 race. I mean, I guess where we stand is Samantha Ingram won.
Yeah.
She will be the new councilwoman for District 2. And if there are any legal remedies or something like that for whether she has the residency or not, but it doesn't sound like anybody is really willing to fight that tooth and nail. Also, when we get Rob on, if we get him back on, I'm going to ask him a couple questions here, because that Spanish Fort mayoral race, interesting to me as well, with Mike McMillan, the incumbent, longtime mayor, losing his race to Brad Bass in Spanish Fort.
Well, and Rob may have a thought or two on what happened in Orange Beach.
Yeah, so we'll try to get Rob back on the line. 251-343-0106. Read some texts in the meantime. Butterknife says, where there's need, there has to be funding. If you need more police, you have to fund it. Need better DHR? You have to fund it. Need better mental health? You have to fund it. We do have wasteful spending, but we are not spending on the things we need to spend money on, especially in the state of Alabama. That's what Butterknife has to say there. Another texter, this is about that Water Street study being discussed by the city council, how to make it more accessible for pedestrians, said that the study will end up costing over $1 million, and it'll be 23 years when they do the project. So that texter, a little cynical on the city getting something like that done. Matt said, it's not hard, just build a pedestrian bridge. And he sends a picture of a bridge. I don't know where that one is, but I mean, you do have one. It's just difficult to get to there in that parking garage.
Yeah, there's already one there.
So maybe they would have to, maybe right there by the Amtrak, I don't know, put one that's more like, I guess, the crosswalk there is in Foley. I've never walked across that, but you have that one right above the street there.
Well, so how much was that? Remember the cost of the one Foley to Gulf Shores? Or in Gulf Shores, I should say, across the canal, how expensive that was? Those things.
Yeah, they're a little pricey.
And
you talk about people complaining when a project, when the cost of a project comes up, and if they hear it's just for a pedestrian bridge across Water Street, there's going to be people saying, well, I have potholes outside, or the water basically locks me inside the house whenever we have a big rain because I get so much standing water. So that I could see some people complaining about that. Let's see.
Michael on the text line, Dalton says, I wonder how much money is wasted yearly on studies for properties that never come to fruition.
That's okay. A good question. All right. I think we have Rob Holbert back on. Hey, Rob. Yeah, sorry, some phone issues there, but I think we have you on now. Are you there? Are we hearing from Rob Holbert? Check 1, 2.
Huh.
Oh, we might be having some phone issues this morning. Rob, can you hear us? We'll try it this one last time.
Okay.
I guess we're going to call it on Rob for the morning. 251-343-0106. Very strange. Something strange in the phone lines this morning. Let's see. Gardner says, can I just go ahead and accept the winning prize now? Let me see as soon as these texts will load. Something is going on right now, Dan, with our connections. Can I just go ahead and accept the winning prize now? No, nope, there's a whole process to it. You're gonna have to win all the games all year long. This texter, morning Dan, sad that so few determine the outcome of the elections when many are complaining. And there's been a lot of that turnout talk, obviously, this week with the elections. And everyone complains, including me, for years, well, there's just such low turnout. And then everyone complains after the elections that their person didn't win. And all these years I've been complaining about low turnout. Something changed in me, like last week or the week before. And
so how?
I think it was just I was on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was seeing a lot of the commentary that people had about the mayoral elections and a lot of other elections. And people just get things so wrong so often. And I'm thinking maybe lower town is turnout is better sometimes.
Yeah. We see that. We see that for sure. I mean, people are not – if you're listening to this station, you should not be among the uninformed because this radio station, that's kind of what we try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really trying to fill your head with a bunch of a bunch of things that we know are untrue.
Mm-hmm.
We may have opinions that you don't agree with or a slant that maybe you're not crazy about or maybe that you are. But again, we will see things on the text line. It's like, no, that's not what we said or no, we just gave you that information. I wouldn't really want to follow things politically on social media. I don't think that would lead to a good day for me.
more text. Summerdale Tony says, I know where you're going. I think it's better if only informed people vote. All the idiots need to stay home. That's I kind of feel like that, kind of don't feel like that. It's just something, this election in particular, I saw a lot of venom, not from the candidates themselves,
but
from constituents who had chosen a side.
Give me an example of that. What were they highly irritated?
Well, there were a lot of people, especially if they were on the left, absolutely hated Prine because of his past with law enforcement. Then you have people who maybe aren't politically on the left, but they dislike Prine and felt that because of his background and because of his battle with the mayor's office, that he was not ready to run a city, maybe better off just running a department or something like that. I saw a lot of hate towards Connie Hudson And some of that reasonable, I guess, because of the whole Big Creek Lake situation.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of hate for Spiro, you know, the whole Nepo talk. I guess a lot of it comes from a place where you could kind of see some arguments. But there were a lot of people that were going online and saying a lot of stuff that just isn't true,
yeah,
I think, in a lot of the cases.
You know, you can have a point of view, but you don't have to be so toxic about it. I think we've got Rob one more time. Hello, Rob.
His sunspots, guys. I don't know what's going on.
Hey,
freaking out.
So,
I was listening to you there. I think one of the things that was really interesting when you talk about things going around, I don't know if y'all talked about it, but people kept saying that Barbara Drummond had a heart attack.
I missed that. And, I didn't see that.
I kept getting phone calls about that. People thought she'd had a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
They were saying that she had a heart attack. And even when she was a little bit late to her victory party the other night, people were calling me saying, she's not there. She had a heart attack. She had a heart attack. We didn't see any evidence of that. But
yeah, this year Facebook kind of – it was a new era almost for Facebook for municipal elections, at least for our mayoral. It seemed that way. Rob, had plenty to talk about. So sorry about our connection issues this morning. And there are great stories in this week's Lanyap, of course, about the elections. You got this wave agreement they were talking about at the city council, maybe someone new to run that. If people want to read about that and they want to read about it online, how can they get a subscription?
Of course, go to lanyapmobile.com. You can get a subscription for it's just $1 for the first month, and it's just $9 a month after that. It's just 30 cents a day, folks. We're putting news up all day long, and this really helps us keep doing what we do. But thanks a lot. I'm sorry for the truncated visit this week.
Not a problem. I've got to hang up right now and look up truncated, and we'll talk next week. Rob Holbert with Lanyap Mobile, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. I did want to get to the Tony Kinnon victory in Orange Beach, just for the record. But
we'll have to talk with Rob next week about that,
because who knows? As we look over what kind of mayor do we want to have in the city of Mobile, and we haven't quite gotten there yet, but it's obvious in Orange Beach, what they like is to have a hellraiser as mayor. So to each community its own. 8:52, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Keep in mind, Fridays with Feinbaum tomorrow at 8:05 on Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Talk a little football.
Yeah, we got a little football tonight. Auburn, of course, takes the field tomorrow night, along with so many high school teams around here. And then Saturday, the big day for college football. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, he'll have in hour number one from Pathway Church, Travis Johnson joins the Jeff Poor Show. In hour number two, April Marie Fogle with 1819 News. And former Congressman Parker Griffith provides the Democrat response for the Jeff Poor Show after 11:30 this morning. So, and we were talking about crime in some big cities and how to tamp it down and how the president's trying to tamp it down. I saw this in the New York Post yesterday. I did not realize that it is next to impossible, apparently, to buy pepper spray in New York, in the state of New York. Did you realize that?
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Currently, state law bans shipping mace to New York addresses and restricts sales in New York to specially licensed pharmacists and firearm dealers. So only some firearm dealers and pharmacists will sell you mace in New York, which is probably maybe not the best. I've heard so many people say, well, instead of mace, as far as non-lethal means, there are better options. But that's one of the easiest to access, and I'm sure plenty of women and probably men will tell you may save their lives over the years.
Yeah, you're not killing anybody. You're just
trying to stop it and get away. One state senator there in New York has introduced a Senate bill which would allow more broad availability. It's just something I had no idea. It was so difficult to buy even something like mace in New York.
New York State won't even let Nancy Mace in. It is because they lean left.
All right.
Okay, 8:59.